Good morning and welcome to Contact on Connect FM. I'm your host, Michael Clement. This morning, live in studio with me is Patrick Shea, who is the Executive Director of Lifespan Family Services, and Jennifer Fedorowicz. We're going to be having a very important conversation about adoption. We're going to do that once we return after these messages. Contact on Connect FM is brought to you in part by Community County Services for local family-based mental health.
Lifespan Family Services provides foster care and adoption services. What is foster care? It's supposed to be temporary, with the idea the family will get things back to where they should be and the kids then go home. However, sometimes the parents don't get things back to where they need to be and those kids become available for adoption. LifespanFamilyServices.com, helping build families through foster care and adoption. Call us today, LifespanFamilyServices.com at 814-375-1314.
Welcome back to Contact. I'm your host, Michael Clement. It's great to be here live in studio this morning with the Executive Director of Lifespan Family Services, Patrick Shea, and Jennifer Fedorowicz. I welcome you both to Contact. Thanks for making the time to come in.
Yes, good thank
morning.
You.
This is such an important issue for really our nation, but here in Clearfield County and in our neighboring counties. I want to start with just how important it is for services like Lifespan Family Services to be available. Patrick, I think we'll start with you to tell us maybe a little bit about Lifespan Family Services.
Sure. Lifespan Family Services is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been in existence for 15 years now. And I founded the agency when I saw that there was a big need, a huge need in Clearfield and Jefferson County and the adjoining counties. We were small enough that the major foster care agencies out of the western part of the state and, of course, in the Philadelphia area, they didn't want to come here. And the reason was the distance. They had to pay for mileage to travel 40-plus miles round trip to make their visits and to go to court hearings. And this area was largely ignored. In fact, many local kids were being placed hours away. I know of kids that were sent from Dubois to Harrisburg and from this area out towards Newcastle on the Ohio border. And that's because at that time, there just was not enough foster parents. So I was very blessed to have started the agency at a time when there was a strong need, and we've been able to grow over the last 15 years to the point where we have offices in Punxsutawney. Our Dubois office is now at the Luthersburg Elementary School, and we opened an office in New Stanton, PA. And if nobody knows where New Stanton is, if you order anything through Amazon and it's delivered through UPS, almost all of them stop at a huge distribution center in New Stanton, and our office there is about half a mile away. One of the things you mentioned, Michael, was how does somebody get into fostering and adopting? The first step is they have to be approved as a foster or an adoptive parent. And the process is largely the same. The parents need to be at least 21 years of age, so they have some level of maturity and hopefully a little bit of experience working with kids. Then they have to pass a medical exam that basically just says they're physically fit enough to care for a child and that they have no communicable diseases. A TB test is administered usually. From there, there's a criminal history check that's done for the state of Pennsylvania, a child abuse check just to make sure that the person hadn't been involved with abusing children, and there's an FBI clearance that checks nationwide. And that's something that they started several years ago when they found out that the Pennsylvania check just wasn't enough. And they began checking nationwide. A lot of times people move into the area from out of state, or there's New York adjoining us, Ohio, et cetera, and people would often go there and have some issues that weren't being addressed. So it's good that they check those. So if somebody gets their clearances, they're medically fit, mentally fit, they're able to foster.
Yeah, those are obviously, in my opinion, really important things to be checked off to make sure that you're eligible to become a foster parent, right? So obviously important to know who these people are. Some of my listeners know that I'm adopted. I was in foster care before, so this is a little personal to me, but extremely important to know who those families are and that they're eligible. Jennifer, you have something you'd like to add.
I'm thinking about your adoption. For those who may be wondering if they are eligible to become a foster parent or if they might make a good foster parent, we need to remember that families of every shape and size are absolutely perfect. There is no normal. And it doesn't matter if you are a single gentleman or a lady, whether you are a more traditional family, retired folks make fantastic foster parents because they really have the time to dedicate and invest in the kids. Even younger people that are, you know, in their 20s, some of those people just really have a natural calling and gift to care for children. And sometimes older teens really relate to someone very well who is closer to age in them. So if you even think that you might be interested in foster parenting, I would encourage you to reach out. Give us a call at Lifespan Family Services. Talk with one of our caseworkers there. As I said, there's no one perfect shape, size family, and there is someone who can help everybody.
Yeah, no, I think that is very true. And maybe you can expand on like some of the things that you've seen come out of being a foster parent.
Well, one of the biggest needs is for siblings. You know, families often aren't just one child, they're two, three, or four. And oftentimes, those are the hardest to place because they like to keep the children together, but often that's not possible because there aren't a lot of foster parents that are able to take four, five, six children. Our record was nine. We had nine brothers and sisters that were placed, and all nine of those were adopted by a loving couple, and the children are all thriving. The great thing about fostering and adoption is often these kids come from an unpleasant situation that's often temporary. A big thing locally is drugs. If the parents are dealing with addiction, unfortunately, their children take a back seat to their addiction, and they often don't end that addiction soon enough to keep their children. And when they're placed, if the parents don't overcome whatever the issue is, after a year and a half, the state has a regulation that they're supposed to start looking for somebody to provide a permanent home for them. I have a question for you, Michael. I see some gray hair, and that tells me that your adoption happened quite a while ago.
Yeah.
What do you see that's a little bit different than what maybe you were exposed to back when your adoption took place?
Well, that's a really great question. And it's to my gray hair, Pat, I just turned 47 this past Friday. And but it's when I look back, it's a day I'll never forget, and I think that is important to these children. December 10th, 1987 was the day that I was adopted. It's a day that will always be remembered. I was in foster care and finally came to the Clement family when I was five, and my situation was, I think, a little different, maybe not the same for all children, but I actually had to fight, essentially, in court to win mine, and it took... Well, since I was six, the judge told me he would do everything he could. It took until I was 10 to win my case in Jefferson County. Now, so I was specifically asking, I feel removed from the system, obviously, for lots of different reasons, but I think the state and organizations like you have no doubt learned things and have transformed the system, I think, hopefully for the good, to try to make it a little easier to place these children who need to be placed.
Yes, there's two or three big changes that I've seen over the past 5 or 6 years. One of them is, unfortunately, after the Sandusky situation, there was very strong changes made to the child abuse reporting law. Mm. And that resulted in tens of thousands of additional calls. And then that resulted in a lot more placements. Interestingly enough, during COVID, the child abuse reporting almost disappeared. And that was largely because the kids weren't in school and the teachers weren't making reports. Plus, they were often in the home where maybe some of the negative things were happening and they just weren't getting reported. After the COVID situation, there was an influx of calls, because those kids were then now going back into the public eye and being seen. Another thing that happened was several years ago, the state enacted a regulation that said there must be an effort to keep the kids close to home. I mentioned in years past, kids could go anywhere there was a foster home. Well, now, and this has been a very positive change, the kids are supposed to, whenever possible, be kept in the same school district and close to home so they can maintain whatever family or church ties they may have had. And that's been very positive for the kids as well. One other change is kinship care. There's a strong effort to try to find somebody that has a relationship with the child, and there's been some research that says if the child had a strong relationship, maybe with a grandmother or an aunt or uncle or even a neighbor, that strong relationship makes for a good placement. And Pennsylvania today currently has the highest number of foster children in kinship care. So that has been effective here in Pennsylvania more than perhaps any other state. Locally, we see a big emphasis on attempting to find somebody that can provide kinship care for their family's children.
Yeah, I think those are really good changes, and my situation was a lot different, but I think it is a testament to how hard, in my opinion, that for the most part, Children, Youth, and Services and those organizations work hard with organizations to place children in hopefully what is going to be a great home for them. I was very fortunate and got blessed. But yes, Jennifer.
I am just, I love that you remember the exact date of your adoption. Patrick and I and all of our caseworkers really have had the opportunity to attend many adoptions over the years. And it always moves you to tears. Sometimes in the adoptions, they'll like ring a bell after, you know, it's finalized. We had one family that rented a limo for their foster child who was joining their family forever, and they all got matching t-shirts, and it was a big event for them. It was really, really beautiful. There are, you know, a lot of foster parenting is tough. Absolutely. It's hard on the kids, it's hard on the parents, but it is also one of the most fulfilling and rewarding things that you can be a part of. Whether you become a foster parent yourself or you support friends or family who are fostering by, you know, helping with the kids and their family's needs. But we would be remiss if we didn't talk about some of just the emotional rewards that you get through fostering and adopting. The parents, like, you get to watch a family be born. And that is one of the coolest things to witness ever. You watch a single couple who may have been struggling with infertility finally get their first placement, or maybe, you know, a young child becomes available. And you watch, you know, these two people like become a mom and dad, and it's absolutely magical to watch them go through that in kind of a fast forward process. Reunification is always the primary goal, especially in Pennsylvania, unless there are really, you know, serious circumstances that they cannot be reunified. And we have seen some really beautiful relationships develop between our foster parents and birth parents in supporting those reunification efforts. And even when the kids go home, those foster families and the families of origin have become friends and maintained relationships. And so those kids, while they were in foster care and their families of origin were getting the support, maybe training that they needed to alleviate whatever problems caused their children to be placed in foster care, the foster parents, and after the kids return, they maintain those relationships years and years. And often the kids will visit with their previous foster parents, sometimes even spending the night as another safe place, a safe person for those kids. So we just have to mention like all of like that good energy and positivity that comes from helping these families.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously important for people to hear, as if you're considering becoming a foster parent or if you want to adopt. Like you said, it is a tough job, but there are really great rewards at the end.
And agencies at Lifespan, I would say that our caseworkers, they are just amazing in the level of support that they give to the families. And Patrick, as the executive director, that he wants us to be able to give to families, I would argue that no one does it better than they do. The training and the support that they offer through placement, through getting the foster parents approved, and then through the placement process.
Yeah, I think one thing I do want to go back and address is that we had a massive party after I was won my adoption. So
nice.
Yes, yeah, so on that same day, at the time, the Holiday Inn was a big place, and we had that rented out for a big party. So I also got to name myself, and so I changed my name on that day. And so I think you'll always remember that, but always remember that it's a fresh start for the child. And so I remember that clear as day. But that was after living in foster care with the Clements for since I was 5 years old. So it took about 5 years in my process then. That's not the case for every child. That may have been more on the extreme case. I don't know. But
I'm so thankful for you that you got to stay with the family that you were with for 5 years. That's
amazing. So am I. And that was like the second or third family that I'd been with.
Okay.
Only because that was
just not a fit.
Yeah. Not a fit. And then I think the rules were different. They did not want to break up the family as much then. And I'm not saying we should always do that, but I think it's more of a case-by-case basis, like you said. When it's more extreme, they, you know, the authorities and those folks can step in and make that happen. But in my case, it worked out. To your point, I think my parents, they adopted three children. And so they were, we were not brothers and sisters, but
yes,
we are, right? So you do become family, and someone... When people ask me, those are my brothers and sisters. We may not be biological, but we definitely are. And I think the rewards for my parents, they would tell you that was rewarding as well to open up your home and your hearts to a child that's not yours. But I'm glad they did it. And I know that I wouldn't be where I'm at today without their guidance and love. So
thanks.
But it's not all about me. I want to return back to Lifespan and what they're doing.
Well, I guess one thing that I wanted to mention is a lot of people don't know this, but there's absolutely a regulation in Pennsylvania that if a child comes into foster care and they come from some sort of a faith background, they're allowed to request that that continue. So if we place a Baptist child or a Catholic child or a Jewish child, if that child says, I want to keep going to my church, we are required to link them to whatever faith they express. Now, sadly, today, there's very few children that are expressing a faith. I've seen over the last 15 years a big decline in that, to the point where today, I bet about 4% of the kids will mention that I'm a Baptist or I'm a Catholic or whatever. And that's sad. But one of the things we encourage is instilling faith into the children, because studies have shown that belief gives you hope for the future. Prayer helps calm you and helps you deal with whatever's going on. And it's been a very good thing. Plus, it gives them a sense of belonging. One thing that I see today, unfortunately, even with my own kids, is we're all very focused on a screen, whether it's your computer screen, a tablet, or your telephone. We're becoming very introverted. So it's great to get kids out in a positive public setting where they can make some quality friends that aren't encouraging them to do all the bad stuff that's out there today. And we're very proud of our connection with local churches. I can tell you, as somebody that adopted Michael, it is amazing how you can embrace a child that wasn't a birth child to you, but you love that child and you bond. And it's been very meaningful for me to see, but also to experience. So I'm very glad that things turned out well for you. And I agree with you. You bond just as if they are your biological siblings.
Absolutely. And for me, I can tell you, again, my situation was different. But when I showed up in Du Bois, I had my, seriously, a garbage bag of clothes, because that's what I had. So I brought what I had. And Mrs. Clement looked right at me and took the bag and kindly set that aside and said, we're going shopping. And I still remember that as well. My life changed immediately. And so I think it's extremely important that we get families to open up their homes.
It's funny that you mentioned the black trash bag.
Yeah.
Because we have many great organizations that have donated backpacks and luggage to us over the years, and we appreciate that so much. Because we never want a child to have to put their personal belongings in a trash bag.
I can understand that. Unfortunately, I had to, but that was just the system, the way it was.
So many do, and that's really kind of a thing, that the black trash bag, move today. Yeah.
And we're very blessed that we have had many, many people donate clothing of all sizes. Mm. And we often have kids that are placed overnight and have nothing except whatever they're wearing. So we're able to hand the foster families outfits. And we always try to give them their own toothbrush and body wash so the children feel special and cared for. And we're blessed to have that community support to provide that.
Yes, and with that, we're going to take a break, but we're going to come back and finish up this great conversation. Believe it or not, we have about 5 minutes left. Contact on Connect FM is brought to you by Lifespan Family Services for all of your local adoption and foster care needs.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
Welcome back to Contact on Connect FM. I'm your host, Michael Clement. We're having a great, very important conversation about foster care and adoption. Jennifer, I want to bring you back in here. I know in the next couple of months, there are big months of national importance. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about that.
Sure. There are a couple of very important things coming up over the next couple of months. First of all, is in April, it is Child Abuse Prevention Month. So you're going to see, on Sunny 106 at the Children's Fair, all over, a lot of opportunities to learn more about how you can prevent child abuse, what you can do to support children and families that are in the foster care system, and opportunities on how to become a foster parent. We get asked often that, how can you help if you aren't ready to become a foster parent? And the number one thing is to be aware, and that if you suspect child abuse in any way, number one, you believe that child 100%. 100%, and you do not challenge them or question them, but you seek help for them. And the way that you do that is that you report that child abuse to Childline, and there are two main ways that you do that. The phone number is 1-800-932-0313. Everybody needs to know that number. You can also search online and make a report electronically at www.keepkidssafepa.gov. Just a quick Google search will get you there too at any time of the day, 24/7. And also you can, if this moved you in any way, your conversations today, please give us a call, 814-938-4408 or lifespanfamilieservices.com, and let's have the conversation and see where you fit.
Yeah, and I think those conversations will need to be had. We do mm-hmm. need families to open up their homes and hearts and join in our attempt to get these children placed who so desperately need to be with mm-hmm. family so they grow up in the correct environment.
And it is a perfect time with April being Child Abuse Prevention Month, and May is National Foster Care Month, so no better time to reach out.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. Obviously a very important issue, a personal one to me, but always great to have Lifespan Family Services
with
us.
Thanks for sharing your story
with us.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.